Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Thursday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in the Stand in the Gap radio network. It's a delight to have you with us, no matter where you might be. And along with Sam Rohr and David Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. We want to thank you very, very much for the pleasure of your company. Sam and Dave and I are in the studio, but Sam is out on the highway somewhere. Sam, how are you doing out there in the highways and byways of life?
Gentlemen, I am doing quite well. This mobile studio from which I'm broadcasting right now is not the preferred, but hopefully it will work. But life in these United States, gentlemen, no matter where you go, people are interested in what we're saying on this broadcast. I know that. I'm talking to some today who are aware. And God's blessing what's coming off of this station and what this broke program, and we're glad for that.
Well, indeed we are. And we can hear a little bit of background noise there with you, Brother Sam, so just want you to know that. Something's clicking or whatever. But anyway, we are delighted to have you with us. And Folks, we do encourage you to continue to listen to this program. It's a program that is put out by the American Pastors Network every day at this same time on this radio station. And if you want to learn more about this radio ministry of the American Pastors Network, I would encourage you to go to www.standinthegapradio.com. That's www.standinthegapradio.com, and you can learn more about this particular ministry. Well, there are a lot of things going on in the world around us today, and, you know, one of the things that is seemingly being discussed by many people, Dave and Sam, is this idea of whether or not there really is a war on police today. It's interesting, almost every week there's some kind of an act of violence towards police officers. The most recent was the fact that yesterday a police car was shot into up in Millis, Massachusetts. And, of course, as we understand, that particular policeman escaped without any harm. Also, yesterday, one police woman in Florida was refused service at an Arby's restaurant simply because of the fact that she was in uniform. And, of course, we know that they're still looking for the shooters of that police officer that was killed out north in that town north of Chicago the other day. And it just seems like almost every day this war on police is increasing. And Dave, my question to you as we begin the discussion on this subject is why do you think this is taking place? I mean, you know, I can't remember a time in my life when it appeared as though it was so risky being a police officer. What has led to this today? Do you think it's the result of the Black Lives Matters movement, or what has led us to this point, in your opinion?
Well, Gary, let me answer that from two perspectives. Number one, let me answer that from a biblical perspective. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, Paul said this. He said, "For the mystery of iniquity," literally the secret power of lawlessness, or the mystery of lawlessness, "is already at work." And then in the next verse, 2 Thessalonians 2:8. He refers to the wicked one, or the lawless one, that's going to be revealed in the last days or in the end time. And of course, that lawless one or wicked one is a reference to the Antichrist. So leading up to the revelation of this Antichrist individual, about which we had a somewhat lengthy discussion and a very interesting discussion yesterday on the program, leading up to the revelation of this lawless individual, there's going to be an escalation of lawlessness worldwide that had already begun, Paul said, even in his day. He said the mystery of iniquity, the spirit of lawlessness, is already at work. And he meant it's at work even as I write this, you know, those many years ago as he was penning the second book of Thessalonians. So what we're seeing, Gary, from a biblical perspective, is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Now, when you're talking about the immediate cause of what's going on, is it the Black Lives Matter movement that is the cause of this lawlessness toward police officers? Or is there something else going on? Gary, I will say this. The Black Lives Matter is merely a symptom of what we're seeing happen, predicted by the scriptures. But I will also say this. The Black Lives Matter, funded by by huge amounts of money from men like George Soros and others. That is what is facilitating the immediate response to police officers and so on. And Gary, if I could say this, and it pains me to say it, I hate to even verbalize it, but it's the truth. So we need to say it. The president is complicit. The president has stirred the racial pot more than any person in the last 50 years. And though he claimed when he campaigned to be the great unifier, he has turned out to be anything but that. And some are even now asking the question, will he be responsible? Is he responsible for these shootings in some indirect way? And even these killings, is that going to be blood on his hands because of the way he stirred the racial pot? That is probably a question that bears much discussion. But the fact of the matter is this, he has done nothing to minimize it. He's done a whole lot to escalate it.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I think we've talked about that before, and he has done nothing to minimize it, but a whole lot to escalate it. And, you know, we are talking about the root cause of this, which is taking place, whether it's the war on the police or you know, a complete lack of respect for authority in our nation today. And Sam, do you think that this is a situation that's going to continue? That is, that the general respect for authority, whether it's for the police or for those in government or for those in the church, is going to continue to wane as we draw closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if so, is there anything we can do to resolve that situation?
Well, Gary, we are absolutely on that track right now because, as a nation, we have turned away from absolute truth. Put it in simple terms, we've turned away from absolute truth. We have repudiated God's role in the forming of this nation and the blessing of this nation. We have turned, by and large, as a culture, to worship the God of government and depend upon what government and politicians can do for us, rather than do and recognize only what God can do for us. These are the underpinnings that have been cut away, and I think it's much what the founders talk about when the foundations are when the scripture talks about when the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? It's the foundations of authority it's talking about. And so the undermining of authority undermines Jesus Christ, the headship of Christ, God's power, God's rule. These things all coming together are where we are now. Is there an answer to it? The answer is yes, there is, and that's we turn back to him. We've got to turn back to him and fear God once again. That's it.
And so really the underlying issue is the fact that in society, generally speaking, God is being forgotten. God is being put out on the back porch. And until we get back to recognizing who God is and submitting to him, this loss of respect for authority is going to continue no matter what area we are talking about, correct?
Absolutely. There is no alternative. It's either dependency upon God, fear of God, and then his blessing as a result, or it's a dependency upon self, man, or government, and that's going to be the problem. That's our choice. Always has been.
Always has been. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we do want to encourage you to continue to pray for the police officers of our nation, because there obviously is a great danger that they face on a regular basis. We are going to take a break now, but we will be back with more Stand in the Gap Today right after these messages, so don't you go away. In fact, you might want to call somebody and let them know we are on this, your radio station, and we've got some good information for them. We will be back right after this break.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our 3-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church.
In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500, or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Janus Wealth Management Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would make this your one and only project, you could change the country. But we can only make this change if we're willing to stand together. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. They are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at PALCS.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today, along with Sam Rohrer, who is on the highway, and David Kistler, who's in his studio. I'm Gary Dahl, and we are delighted to have you with us. So many things to talk about today, ladies and gentlemen, and we do want to get to some very interesting components of the current presidential campaign. But before we do that, we want to encourage you to continue to pray for Kim Davis. And remember that Kim Davis is the county clerk down in Kentucky, or one of the Kentucky county clerks, I should put it that way, who this morning, I think around about 10 o'clock, was to go before a federal judge for not signing the applications for a marriage license for same-sex couples. And, of course, we've been talking about it on this particular program. And she says that she does not want to sign these applications because doing so would conflict with her personal religious convictions. And we've learned that, along with her, there are six deputy clerks who are standing with her, and they could be charged for contempt of court in this case if they themselves are not willing to sign these particular applications. But it's interesting to note, Dave and Sam, that in the last day or two, we've been hearing that some of her opponents are calling her a hypocrite simply because of her lifestyle before she came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Apparently, before she got saved, she was married four times, and had a couple of babies out of wedlock. And, she came to Jesus Christ. She came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, her life was changed. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. She's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And so the question that I have for you, Dave, as a preacher of the Word of God, is this a fair thing that her opponents are doing when they are bringing up some of the things that she did before she came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or does that factor into the situation that we're facing here today?
Well, Gary, if it's fair insofar as if she's able to bring up the background of all of those that are accusing her, we have a situation in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, where the Bible talks about those that are not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven, and it lists a litany of things. Let me just mention a couple of them. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And then the next verse, Gary, is the one that's so powerful. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, "And such were," past tense, "such were some of you." So the fact that Ms. Davis was something in the past and she is no longer that ought to be a cause for great rejoicing. And really, to be honest with you, it punctuates her position on refusing to issue these marriage licenses. She would have done it before she came to faith in Christ. She will no longer do it because her commitment, her loyalties have changed. And so really, Gary, in one sense, it is inappropriate. It is not fair to bring those things up. But what's positive about this is it punctuates in a very clear way, and I'm sure she's probably rejoicing over this, the dramatic transformation that's taken place in her life.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And I like that passage there as Paul is speaking to the Corinthians when he says, "And such were some of you." And you know, that which a person has done before they came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ should not be held against them simply because of the fact that in Christ opinions and values and convictions change. And so we just want to encourage you to continue to pray for Kim Davis. As far as I know, we have no update on her. We are watching to see how that turns out. Of course, as I said, it was supposed to take place this morning at about 10 o'clock Eastern time, but whether it did or not, I don't know. But if we hear anything during the course of this program, ladies and gentlemen, we'll let you know. But I do want to shift over a little bit to the presidential campaign. And as we know, that supposedly at about 2 o'clock this afternoon, Donald Trump may... we don't know this for certain, but he may be asked to sign a loyalty agreement to the Republican Party by RNC Chairman Reince Priebus, who basically this particular agreement would say, well, let me just go ahead and read the text, read the wording of this particular agreement. It says this: "I," you could put your name in there, "affirm that if I do not win the 2016 Republican nomination for President of the United States, I will endorse the 2016 Republican presidential nominee, regardless of who it is. I further pledge that I will not seek to run as an independent or write-in candidate, nor will I seek to accept the nomination for president of any other party," end quote. And Sam, as an individual who's been involved with government for many, many years, I want to ask you two questions. Number one, is this a legitimate thing for Mr. Priebus to be asking, and for the establishment individuals of the Republican Party to be asking Donald Trump to do this? Is it a legitimate request? And secondly, if you were running for the presidency of the United States, and you've run for the for governor, you've run for the Senate, along with, of course, running for the position that you've held in our Pennsylvania House of Representatives, would you sign such an agreement in the day and age in which we live?
Gary, this is something that the party structure has attempted to do and have done effectively behind the scenes for a long time. The fact that this is so public makes this circumstance different from that perspective. It makes it visible. But it's not really different. So whether or not you say, should it be done or should it not be done? Well, there's one thing about it that says, yes, there's a consideration that is legitimate because Trump is running at this point as a Republican. The Republican piece of it is a part of a party structure. Therefore, there are some rules and things and so forth coming along with that that they can logically expect. The problem here is that the party has moved way beyond its commitment to their written statement. They don't have a statement of faith, but basically their statement of principles. Now, if they were asking Trump to sign and commit that he was, in fact, going to stand by and support faithfully the statement of principles, historically, of the Republican Party, I would probably say Trump could do that. And I would do that, and I would have done that and did that as a candidate. But what I would not do, and I think this is part of the difficulty with Trump, is when you say, I'm going to give my allegiance to the party leaders, whoever, whatever they are, rather than a statement of principles, that's dead wrong on the part of the party, and it's a problem. I think Trump being a good negotiator, I think he may walk into that setting today with Reince Priebus and say, well, tell you what, gentlemen, I will be willing to sign an agreement that I will support the Republican candidates, providing that you, the party leaders, also sign an agreement to me that you will support me with all the effort of the Republican Party if I am the candidate chosen by the people. Now, that would be a real switch. I think that's probably how Trump will go.
Dave, I hear you laughing. What's up your sleeve?
Well, Sam must be reading my email because I wrote an article about this morning, and I got an intriguing response back from a friend of mine who said, in essence, what Sam just said, except he went one step further. He said what Trump will do as the consummate negotiator is he will rewrite the pledge, and he'll include in it what Sam just said, a commitment to him if he becomes the nominee, but beyond that, a commitment to the principles that have made the Republican Party what it is. And I'm talking about those platform issues, life, sanctity of marriage, all of those things that the Republican Party used to stand so strongly for and even crusade for and were a requirement of those that they put up as candidates. If Mr. Priebus and the party will sign that, then Trump will sign this, which I think is a great way of saying it. I am 100% agreement with Sam. I wouldn't sign any kind of statement pledging loyalty to whoever the candidate might be if that candidate does not reflect the core principles that made the Republican Party great, and if that candidate is not going to stay true to those principles. So I think Sam summed it up about as well as it could be summed.
Well, I think so, too. And of course, I don't think it's fair, nor is it just, to be honest, for the Republican Party to ask Donald Trump or anybody else to say that to sign a statement that he's going to support whoever the nominee is, because, it could very well be that that nominee is somebody who has not only different principles from the Republican Party, but have principles that, are different from my own personal belief. And so I don't personally, and I'm an outsider here, I'm a lay person in this area. So, I just don't think it's good for them to ask him to sign that. And we're just about up against a hard break, but Sam, I think that when we come back, I'm going to ask you to answer the question, what if Donald Trump does not sign this agreement today? What is it that the Republican Party will be able to do to him or with him or whatever the case may be here in advance of whoever might be nominated? So Sam, I'd be interested in hearing your question when you come back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, and we will be back with more of Stand in the Gap today, right after this particular break. So don't you go away. It's a delight to have you there by the radio. This is Stand in the Gap for today, this Thursday, Ministry of the American Pastors Network.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady wins his appeal, erasing a four-game suspension to start the season, but NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell now says the league will appeal that decision.
Judge Richard Berman's ruling said NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell went too far in punishing the quarterback. Brady has insisted he had nothing to do with a conspiracy to deflate footballs below the allowable level in last season's AFC Championship game against the Indianapolis Colts. The decision frees Brady to play in the team's season opener next Thursday against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Fox News Radio. Tanya J. Powers. Kentucky County Clerk Kim Davis has been in a hearing in federal court about her refusal to issue marriage licenses so gay couples can't get them. She tells Fox News Radio she's willing to go to jail.
I am. I sure am.
The judge could hold her in contempt of court with jail time or fines. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Pennsylvania National Guard. Aired by the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And before the break, we were talking about this situation where the RNC chairman, Rince Priebus, is going to be speaking with Donald Trump at about 2 o'clock today, after which we understand that Trump is going to be giving a press conference, which should be very interesting. But the RNC is really asking candidates to pledge that they will not run as independents should they fail to win the nomination. And it's interesting to see how this is all going to turn out. And before we went into the break, Sam, I asked you that if Donald Trump comes out and says, no, I'm not going to sign this particular loyalty pledge, what is it that the RNC may, could, or would do in relationship to Donald Trump in advance of the election?
Gary, I think what they would use, I don't think they there's legally anything they can do because he is filed as a Republican candidate. He is running as a Republican. And to that extent, I almost wonder, even legally, how they can even ask. I think that he probably will find a reason not to respond without drawing a hard line and defying them directly. He's already on the record of saying that he will not. So they actually have him in a box, which is exactly where they want him to go. If he signs it, then he flip-flops, appears to be, and they accuse him of flip-flopping. If he does not, then they try to say then that we will use the power of the party to disenfranchise you from whatever. It would be historic in any regard. I don't know of anything like this happening before. So I think that most at this point, Gary and Dave, would be mostly rhetoric and using the position and threats as a party of what they could do more than anything they can actually do by law.
But yet, you know, it is true that at times the establishment in either the Democratic or the Republican Party has worked against candidates who really didn't stand with them. I mean, you yourself, Sam, you've experienced that to a certain degree, have you not?
Well, absolutely, Gary. And what they will do, if he says, no, I will not, they will begin to put things into place more than they're already doing right now of using the procedures that are within the purview of the party leadership itself so as to prevent him perhaps from being a part of the upcoming debates. They may try to say, you cannot represent us as a Republican in the Republican debates because you have not bowed and kissed our shoes. I think that would set up, perhaps at this point in time, a legal challenge, and I think they run very great risk, frankly, Gary and Dave, of using a circumstance that actually will be, in the public's mind, go further against the party rather than going necessarily against Trump.
Sam, let me say this, and here's what I think Trump may do because he is the consummate negotiator. He will offer them an alternative in the form of what we just discussed in the prior segment. He will offer them an alternative and say, look, if you will commit to this, and he will word it in such a way and it'll be stated and presented in such a way that it's going to be an incredible stretch for Rince Priebus and the Republican Party to be able to go that far and sign that statement. And so they'll say, well, I don't think we can do that. And so Trump will in turn will say, well, then I just can't sign this either. And so they end at a stalemate. But I agree with you, Sam. I think it would be absolutely political suicide on the part of the Republican Party, understanding the angst, the anger that's out there directed toward the establishment Republicans. If they were to try to turn on Trump and eliminate him from being in any of the future debates, I think you would see the public, I'm talking about those that have been traditional Republicans, rise up in force and demand of the Republican Party that Trump be on every debate stage if they tried to shut him out in that fashion.
I agree, Dave, and I'll go further than this and say I believe what's happening with the Republican Party leadership right now actually puts them very, very, very close to not dissolving, but to disintegrating the structure of the Republican Party as we've known. Now, let me say,
I agree, Sam.
The Republican Party leadership, both on state level and on federal level, have already walked away from their statement of principles that we talked about before. They adopt the platform. Every time there's a caucus in the next 4 years, they have a big deal, don't they? We all know about the discussion about the planks of the platform. They wrangle through that. They talk about it. But then when they get in, they don't do anything about them. They walk away from them for whatever reason. Then the Republican voters across this country are absolutely beside themselves because of what they are doing vis-a-vis what they say they believe. And I believe that when you have Trump sitting there, I think that this is probably going to be a part of what he will say. And so if Reince Priebus and the party leadership says we are willing to sacrifice our principles for the sake of the preservation of our power structure, they will harm this Republican Party, perhaps fatally.
You know, it's interesting to note, fellas, that I think it was on Monday that Eric Erickson said this, and I quote, "The Republican Party is dying because the GOP in D.C. has gone corporate and K Street. They attack any Republicans who dare hold them to their promises. They've gone to war against the Heritage Action for America, Club for Growth, the Madison Project, etc. They've blackballed any political consultant who does work for outsiders. But even more importantly, the GOP protects their failed consultants who keep bringing in the bacon." And in addition to that, he said that the GOP has become so incestuous, it continues to hemorrhage and will die. It cannot adapt because the key consultants it has shaping its future are wedded to the capital that comes from not changing. Sam, your thoughts on that?
Gary, I had not read all of that, but that's basically what I said. Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree with what he has said. And that's the tough thing about it for conservative Republican candidates across the country, all the way from the top down into local level. You cannot say on one hand, this is what we stand for, and then conveniently put it aside whenever you get in positions of power. What all of these guys, Mitch McConnell, standing there in the Senate leadership right now, has promised many things, even like on the Planned Parenthood situation with funding. He's not even going to bring it up now. I told the people what he stands for. He's not going to do it. They all will say, well, you know, if we take a difficult position here on a controversial issue, we will not be able to maintain our leadership, and therefore we will fail to do it. Well, the people look and say, because you're not exercising leadership is why you've got trouble. That's what Erickson was saying, and I agree with that.
So, Dave, the question that I ask you is, why should a person be a registered Republican?
Well, Gary, to be honest with you, I probably comes as no surprise. I've voted Republican as far as presidential candidates all of my life. I've been registered Republican. But, Gary, the point you're bringing up is a good one. If the party is not going to be loyal to its core principles, that upon which all of us that are conservatives coalesced around, that which drew us into support of the platform, if they're not going to stay loyal to that, if they're going to depart from that, then there really is no need for someone to register as a Republican and be loyal to that. Listen, my dad said this, son, don't vote party, don't vote person, vote principle. And align yourself with those individuals and the party that most closely reflects the principles that you believe. Well, I aligned myself with the Republican Party because at the time it was the party that most closely reflected what I believe. I am still a registered Republican, but Gary, my loyalty is not to that party. My loyalty is certainly not to Mitch McConnell or to John Boehner. My loyalty is to the truth. My loyalty is to fundamental, non-negotiable principles that I adhere to. And Gary, if the party departs, I'm staying where I've stood all along. They're going to be the one leaving, and they'll be leaving me is what will be happening.
Well, that's what Ronald Reagan said when somebody asked him one day, why did he leave the Democratic Party? He said, I didn't leave them. They left me. And, you know, one of the reasons why I'm a registered Republican, Sam, is because here in Pennsylvania where I live, the system goes against me if I register as an independent because I cannot vote in the primary election. I mean, that is not even a fair or a just situation that we face.
Well, no, it's not. You know, and President George Washington early on said the two-party system would destroy the country. Because, see, what happens is it takes and it reduces the power and the focus on the Constitution to that of a party structure which lends itself to trying to have people of power wanting to take control. I always said when I ran, which is what I believe the party itself ought to say, is this. I mean, I am a constitutionalist by conviction, and I am a Republican by preference. And if the Republican Party were to say that our loyalty is to the Constitution, that who and what we are, come and join us if you stand there. The Republican Party would be strong right now. It wouldn't be talking about weakness right now.
Well, that's absolutely true. And unfortunately, we're up against a break here. I used to say, folks, that I was a Republican, registered Republican, because the Republican Party had a platform that was closer to biblical principles. But I'm not so sure where the Republican Party stands anymore. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we must take this break, but we will be back with more right after this. So please stay tuned.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
In the name of the most holy and undivided Trinity. This is how the Treaty of Paris began, which ended the 8-year-long American Revolutionary War. The treaty continued, "It having pleased the divine providence to dispose the heart of Prince George III to forget all past misunderstandings between the two countries." The treaty was signed by American leaders Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, the second president, and John Jay, the first chief justice, and ends with the phrase, "Done at Paris, this third day of September in the year of our Lord, 1783.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
The Apostle Paul told the Thessalonians in chapter 2 not to be troubled or shaken in their heart or spirit. He said not to falter in their faith or their understanding of Christ, either by what they read or heard, because the day of Christ was at hand. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Apostle Paul warned the early believers not to be deceived by the overwhelming deception and to expect a falling away from the truth. He said there would be great wickedness and great iniquity and the great wicked one. Paul said, therefore, to stand fast and hold tight to the truth they had been taught. If this was a reality and a necessity in Paul's day, how much more today? He went on to say, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network saying, let us also not be deceived in our current days of evil when we also see a falling away. If there was ever a time for true believers to stand fast for the truth, it is now.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources, categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we would encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap radio website if you want to learn more about this program and other radio programs produced by the American Pastors Network. You can do so by going to www.standinthegapradio.com, and we would encourage you to do that. In the last segment or two, we've been talking about Donald Trump and what is going on within the Republican Party in this presidential campaign, but on the other side, in the Democratic Party, another front runner, Hillary Clinton, is in all sorts of trouble as it relates to her email gate. I mean, it's just amazing. I'm amazed that she's even still leading in the polls. I'm amazed that she's still even in the campaign, to be honest with you. But anyway. One of her former aides, a fellow by the name of Brian Pagliano, or Pagliano, however he pronounces his name, basically has told the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday, Sam, that he would plead the fifth if he were compelled to testify in this particular case because he did not want to incriminate himself. Now, to me, that looks to be very, very serious. You know, and my question is, what does that tell us about what's going on in the Hillary campaign right now?
Gary, what it tells you is that they are in deep trouble. They are already been planning for a long time what their defense will be. It's been, you know, up to this point, it's been resisting, it's been withholding. But now when they get down, push comes to shove, just like we've seen in many cases before, when big issues like that have come, once they start pleading the fifth, you know there is great fire underneath the smoke.
Well, there is, and you know it's interesting today that Chris Steigerwalt of Fox News wrote an editorial, as it were, on this particular subject, and he said a senior aide invoking his constitutional right against self-incrimination is a big deal no matter what. Just imagine if this were Jeb Bush's or Scott Walker's it guy. But its consequence grows when the underlying substance involves potential for criminal charges for the mishandling of state secrets and exposing them to our enemies abroad because of Hillary Clinton's desire to keep her own communications secret from her political enemies here at home. And then it goes on to say, that's not something that a campaign can wave away as prudent or misplaced. Dave, it just seems like every day when we see more and more of what was written in the emails that Hillary wrote or received, she is in grave trouble. I just cannot see how in the world she is going to last in this campaign. But just imagine if it was Jeb Bush's it guy, to use Chris Steigerwalt's phrase, or Scott Walker's it guy. I mean, this thing would be blown off the map by the Democrats.
Well, Gary, it absolutely would. And if I could say this, Gary, this is really not an email problem. This is a violation of the Espionage Act. If you read the Espionage Act, I don't know if either of you gentlemen have, but when you read that, Hillary Clinton is in huge trouble. And I have no doubt that's why this gentleman, Pagliano, is claiming the fifth, because he is privy to information that he knows will not only incriminate him, but it's certainly going to be incriminating to Hillary Clinton. So this is not an email scandal. This is a scandal that goes much deeper than the emails. The emails are merely the vehicle through which she committed incredible criminal acts. And because her name is Clinton, Gary, and Sam, that's the only reason why more has not been done to this point. But as information continues to come out, it's becoming glaringly obvious that something's going to have to be done, because she has violated not just one law, she has violated multiple laws, and she has committed acts that literally, gentlemen, I believe border on being treasonous. So she is in a lot of trouble. She is in more trouble than she's ever imagined, and it's her arrogance that has gotten her into this place.
Well, it is, and, you know, I can remember her saying when she was testifying before the committee, what difference does it make? You know, talking about what caused this situation that took place over in Benghazi and so forth and so on. Well, you know, as I look at Hillary Clinton, I think that even deeper than anything else is a character issue. And, you know, Sam, I want to defer to you here in these last minutes of our program this afternoon and ask you an age-old question that has been asked at least back to the days of Bill Clinton when he ran. Does character count? What difference does it make if you have a shady character? And I'm not talking about the individual. I'm talking about the lifestyle and the thought process of an individual. Does character count for those who are in positions of authority?
Gary, you used that word all the way back to the days of Bill Clinton. Can I extend it back a few more years than that and go all the way back to the days of William Penn, the founding of our country? He made it very, very clear that you could have the best form of government, and we ended up having it. Best system of law, best constitution. He said, however, if you put into office those who are without character and without integrity, they will destroy the best of systems. And this is exactly what we have. Gentlemen, integrity and character, frankly, it's what you do in private. That's the real measure of the character and integrity of a man, not what you can fool the people about or twist arms about or manipulate the facts about. It's what you are in public. That comes out. And this lie that has been put forward for years, that it doesn't really make any difference what you do in your bedroom. It doesn't really make any difference what you do in your own contractual areas of life or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. Gentlemen, you cannot separate the two. And this is a grave and great and glaring example of the reality of that. I mean, God said it. We're just now seeing it in its ugly, ugly form.
Well, we are, and I don't know that they're going to get out of this. You know, again, Chris Steirwalt said in his editorial today, as it related to some of the, you know, scandals that Bill Clinton himself was in, he said what got him out of trouble as a candidate and in his impeachment was that Democrats could say that Republicans are sex-obsessed weirdos, sex-obsessed weirdos, and do so with a wink and a nudge. But, Dave, this goes far beyond that. I should say far deeper than that, does it not?
Well, Gary, it goes way deeper than that. And D.L. Moody made this statement, and I've used it before, but I'm going to use it again because it's appropriate. He said, character is what a man is in the dark. And the fact of the matter is this, what Bill Clinton has been in the dark recesses of his life, I'm talking about his actions, not even to even venture into the dark recesses of his mind and heart. What he has been characterless. What his wife has been, and it's now coming out, is the same thing. She has been, she continues to be characterless.
Well, folks, that challenges us to pray for America, to pray that God will raise up a leader, and I might say leaders in every aspect of our government, who are individuals of biblical character. We want to thank you for joining us today. On behalf of Sam Rohrer and David Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl, saying stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, because we know the best is yet to come. And the Lord willing, we will be back with you in about 23 hours with another Stand in the Gap Today.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohrer, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.